Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project, or should I say bonjour? I am in Paris. As I think I mentioned on the last episode, I've relocated here for about a month or two, and so excited to be here. It is a beautiful summer night in Paris, and silly season is coming to a close. You'll be listening to this on Monday, which means it is officially race week again after a several week break, I think much needed for everybody, including myself, but especially for the drivers and the teams and everybody who works in this crazy universe. It did seem like everybody got up to some fun things, a lot of rest and relaxation, a lot of yachts. It happens every year, but you're always seeing almost every driver on a yacht somewhere in the Mediterranean or across the oceans. People seem to love Sardinia, Corsica, I don't know where else, Ibiza. People are all over the place. There were even photos of Toto and Max together on a yacht, Max and Kelly, and then Susie and Toto as well, which, you know, love to see it. Someone texted me, they were like, isn't George feeling weird about the fact that like Max and Toto are hanging out on summer break? And I'm like, if it were me, I would not want to be hanging out with my boss in the only 2 or 3 week period that I have off all year from this sport. So who knows? But George did seem to enjoy himself as well. And yeah, everybody was just getting up to fun things. I always really enjoy the driver photo dumps at the end of summer break because you get to kind of see them in their more natural habitats. And I love to see what people get up to with their families, with their partners, with, you know, whatever they're willing to share. It's always a fun little window into their worlds. So for this episode, I'm going to do a little bit of a silly season news recap. What you missed if you haven't been paying attention to Formula One, which I don't blame you at all if you haven't, but spoiler alert, I don't think there's a ton that has happened in terms of news, but there definitely are some things here and there that I think are interesting to talk about. So first up, yes, drivers were vacationing and yachting and doing all the things, but there are quite a few side hustles happening. So number one, Pierre Gasly teased a new drinks company, Drink Secret Stuff. I'm not sure what that is, but another beverage. So we'll see what that ends up looking like. It's a sort of beer looking can. I doubt he's coming out with a beer, but maybe it's like some healthy soda or like a protein soda, or I don't know. Coffee? What is Pierre Gasly like? Please drop predictions into my DMs or in the comments on YouTube or Spotify or Apple or wherever. I'm curious what that's going to be. Lewis launched a new smoky mezcal-inspired Almave flavor. I'm super excited to try it. A lot of people love mezcal, and I think that's a natural extension to his current non-alcoholic tequila. Oscar Piastri now has an Australian Grand Prix grandstand, which is super exciting. So all the fans who love Oscar Piastri, I can now buy tickets to go to his grandstand, which is super exciting. He also became an ambassador for My Room Children's Cancer Charity. Charles Leclerc launched some sort of like agency or like creative agency, which is interesting. I'm excited to see what that means and how that's going to fare, but good stuff there. But the big announcement that we are waiting for and are still waiting for is who's getting these Cadillac F1 seats. Silly season has not been quite so silly on the news front, although this is probably the week where we will get some announcements. And the Cadillac seat announcement seems to be getting closer. ESPN and ESPN F1 posted that sources told them both Checo and Valtteri Bottas have signed with Cadillac and they will be announced. So usually where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't think ESPN would post that unless they were certain that that were true. But I personally always wait for the F1 graphic to come out. I think it's a bank holiday today, Monday, so maybe it'll happen tomorrow if it hasn't already happened. Maybe this episode is stale and oh my God, Checo and Valtteri Bottas are the Cadillac drivers. I said this way back when, I think in June and maybe even earlier, that I would love to see a Checo and Valtteri Bottas lineup and that it actually makes a lot of sense for Cadillac, who is a new team. Everything's going to be new to them. Having two veteran drivers who are arguably the best quote unquote second drivers in the sport, having them come together with their hundreds of Grand Prix of experience, I think just makes a ton of sense to help Cadillac sort of set the stage, bring the learning curve down in terms of steepness a little bit. Valtteri has been in and around the paddock and on the simulator with Mercedes. So yes, he hasn't been racing this year, but he's still like very close to the team and all the sort of ins and outs and has all the knowledge that would be valuable to Cadillac. And so I think that was a very smart move of him, even if he didn't have a seat this year, to sort of stay as close as he could to the sport as a reserve driver. So happy for Valtteri if that is the case. I think I'd be super excited to see them both. Checo, hundreds of Grand Prix, multiple wins, great second driver, has been vindicated a little bit since that second Red Bull seat has not fared well for anyone in that car. So look, I'm super excited for Checo to come back. I think you've probably heard me, if you've listened to the podcast before, you've probably heard me say, make room for new drivers, stop bringing back all the veterans. You know, I said that about Alonso when he came back to the sport and has, you know, taken a seat in Formula One, which I don't dislike Alonso. I'm an Alonso fan, but part of me does feel like with only 20 seats in Formula One, you should be giving rookies and sort of new blood a fresh chance. But that being said, with a brand new team, and these are net new seats, so now we're going to have 22 seats on the grid. With net new seats, first year of a team, super excited for Checo and Valtteri, and I think it's the right move for Cadillac. My curiosity is, what number of years are these drivers signing contracts for? I would guess it's a one-year contract for both of them, because who knows how they'll fare? Who knows what Cadillac looks like? I mean, both of them would be grateful to have a seat in Formula One, so I imagine they would be excited to take a multi-year deal if they could get it. But I think it probably will be a one-year deal. See how Cadillac does, build up for a year, maybe bring on a rookie in one of the two seats next year, and then sort of go from there. But yeah, I wonder if it's going to be sort of the vibe of Checo and Bottas sort of fighting each other for who might get to keep that seat or what those dynamics will be like. I don't know how often, and someone who's listening to this probably has like encyclopedic knowledge of all of the teammates in history, but I'm curious if there's been a time where you've taken two great second drivers and put them together in a team. And what does that look like? I mean, someone has to become the number one driver, and those drivers aren't necessarily used to that status or stature within a team. And so I'm really curious to see like who performs better, who comes out on top. I mean, both of them are such great drivers and have backed up, for lack of a better term, some of the most incredible drivers in history. I mean, Bottas for Lewis Hamilton and Checo for Max Verstappen. I mean, they're serious business. So let's see who does better. But please let me know your thoughts on the whole Cadillac situation. Overall, I'm just over the moon that we're going to have 22 seats. And yes, we're not getting an American driver, but Checo does bring a huge North and Latin American fan base. And I think it's going to be really good for the team and really great in terms of marketing and all of that. And also, Valtteri Bottas' social media presence. I cannot wait for the social content with Valtteri and Checo together. Like, is that going to be a weird vibe? Probably. They feel very different to me, but I'm stoked. Let's bring it on. I feel like for Checo as Max's second driver, Max is very serious. And it's not like Lewis wasn't, but Valtteri had years after being the second driver to Lewis, where he was at Alfa Romeo and Kick Sauber. So he was able to sort of carve out his own personality in a way that I don't think we've seen as much, at least on the social media side of things, with Checo, because Checo ended that era of his career at Red Bull with Max Verstappen, where it was like very kind of buttoned up, locked down. We're at the top. We're not making like stupid TikTok videos, maybe like some here and there, but you know, not really showing that side of themselves. And I think, I don't know. I'm excited to see what Cadillac's marketing and social team does with them. Next item of news is F1 the movie. So it continues to just break records. It became the highest grossing sports movie of all time with global box office now of over $600 million, passing Cars 2. And a lot of you, when I posted this in the newsreel, were like, Cars 2 is classified as a sports movie? Look, I didn't make the classifications. That's also confusing to me. But I was also looking at the Wikipedia page of sports movies, and you know, like Forrest Gump is on there, which I guess makes sense. I think Inside Out 2 is on there for like ice hockey. To be fair, I haven't seen it, but the classifications are kind of strange, and I'm honestly not sure which classification motorsport.com was using when it cited that F1 is now the highest grossing sports movie, because depending on how you define it, it's a little iffy. But regardless, F1 the movie has crushed it. It continues to crush it. It was re-released in IMAX. It's going to be coming out on Apple TV at some point. There were some rumors that it would come out at the end of this month on Apple TV, but that's not been confirmed by Apple. And I would sort of be surprised by that just because it's enjoying so much success in the box office and in the theater and on IMAX. So I would be surprised if it came out super soon on Apple TV, but I guess you never know. Maybe keep the momentum rolling and see what happens. But one thing that I thought was interesting was on the earnings call for Liberty Media, which, as a reminder, Liberty Media owns Formula One. They're a public company, so they have public earnings calls every quarter, which are really fun to listen into because you actually get to hear firsthand from the leadership of both Liberty and then Formula One. So Stefano Domenicali is like on those calls all the time. Derek Chang, the CEO of Liberty Media. And so you kind of get to hear from the horse's mouth what they're telling to the public or what they're willing to disclose. And one of the things that they did disclose on this earnings call was that F1 the movie generated a mid-teens millions of dollars in revenue for Liberty. So that's already a pretty big bump and a pretty big success. And if you couple that with this, with just the excitement and the social media buzz and the awareness and getting people into theaters and all of that, I think it was a really huge success for F1 and Liberty Media. And I'm curious if we're going to see more of the sort of Drive to Survive effect with F1 the movie, which, you know, Drive to Survive brought in such a new wave of fans. And I'm curious if that's going to happen with F1 the movie or if it has already happened. It's kind of hard to tell, I feel like. And with summer break, it's a little bit awkward timing in terms of races and watching of it. One thing I enjoyed was yesterday, Damson Idris posted an Instagram story saying that they reached 600 million, F1 the movie did. And he said that everyone needs to talk to him more nicely now, which I thought was funny. I'm like, who's talking bad to Damson? Because I'll come after them. In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. What if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment, and spend less than you would with other clouds. How is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all your biggest workloads. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Another piece of news. George went on the Untapped podcast. I hadn't heard of that before. And George doesn't really do podcast interviews. So I was actually kind of surprised to see that he had done one over summer break. And he actually said a lot on that podcast. So I recommend listening to that if you haven't. But one of the things that came up was he was talking about his father. And maybe I just didn't know this about George. Maybe he's spoken about this openly before, but I didn't really know that his relationship with his father, at least how he is seen and how he thinks he's seen in his father's eyes and sort of the really harsh treatment and upbringing from his father, is actually quite similar to Max Verstappen's story. And so the fact that Max and George have the sort of beef and the context around that they do, but also the fact that they actually maybe have more similarities in terms of how they were raised is fascinating to me. But George was basically like, I never felt good enough for my father. When I was karting, he would purposely mistime my lap times to make me seem slower than I was, to kind of keep me humble. And he was just kind of going on and on about the way that he was raised and how he felt about his father. And I thought that was kind of an interesting tidbit. And last piece of news is Christian Horner was officially removed as Red Bull F1 director. So he previously was removed from his operational role when that news broke and, you know, Christian Horner's out from Red Bull. That was from his operational role. Now, the intent obviously was also to be officially removed as director and all of the sort of business side of things as well. But I think what was preventing that or what was holding that up was probably his severance package and the negotiation of his exit and his severance. So the fact that he has now officially severed ties with the company seems to indicate to me that they have come to some agreement on what that severance is. So I'm very curious what it is. I mean, it's multi-millions, I'm sure, but I'm curious what he got out of that deal and what Red Bull was willing to give. That's really all the main news. I think it sort of seems assumed at this point that Franco Colapinto is going to be continuing with Alpine. But as a reminder, he was only on like a 5 or 6 race contract when he replaced Jack Doohan. And so I'm not sure there was ever an official announcement that he is extending, but all signs seem to point to the fact that he is. Although Jack Doohan did post a Instagram dump of him like working out really hard over the summer and training and stuff. So I don't know. Who knows exactly what that means or what's happening, but I assume that Franco will stay in that seat. All right, for a quick Dutch Grand Prix preview, this is an exciting one because I'm going to be there. I have some really fun plans, so keep an eye out on Instagram, on TikTok for content. It's going to be really fun. It's a home race, obviously, for Max Verstappen in the Netherlands, and it's arguably like the Super Bowl for Dutch fans. The Orange Army is going to be ready to go. It will likely be orange flares galore. You've probably seen those pictures. I think they've tried to ban them at various stages, but the ban never seems to be fully successful. And it's also the second to last race here for a while, at least, because Zandvoort is leaving the calendar after 2026. And so this is sort of precious time, especially because Max is still at Red Bull, although it sounds like he'll be at Red Bull next year too, but it sort of feels a little bit like an end of an era. Max likely will not be world champion this year, so it does feel like a little bit of a different vibe maybe than in years past at Zandvoort, although the fans are going to be just as excited, I'm sure, and I'm sure Max will do well this weekend. We also have an F1 Academy race weekend. It's been a long time since their last race in Montreal in June. I'll be spending a lot of time with F1 Academy. I'm super excited. It's going to be fun because they have a few more races to go. They have Singapore and Las Vegas, but this is a fun one. Zandvoort. It's going to be fun to see these women back on track in an F1 Academy car. A lot of them have been doing different series and racing still, you know, kind of during this off time between June, July, August, but it's going to be super fun to see them back on track. And there's going to be a lot of fun stuff going on around both F1 Academy and F1. So for the track itself, it does have a bit of a unique location. It's in the beach resort town of Zandvoort. It's super close to the beach. It even cuts through the sand dunes. And it's also less than an hour from Amsterdam. So I'm so excited. I've never been to Amsterdam, which kind of feels crazy to say because it has been on my list for a long time. It's a super cool city. I'm so excited to see the canals and the flowers and the biking and the cafes and everything. It's going to be so great. So I am staying in Amsterdam and will be commuting to the track, which will be fun. It is calling for rain, which is going to be interesting. Every single day, I think, has an over 50% chance of rain. So fingers crossed for me and for others going that it's not going to be raining the whole time. But I guess rain makes for a little bit of a fun race. It shakes it up a little bit. So maybe that's okay. It is one of these kind of old school classic tracks, sort of like Spa. It's also quite demanding, 4.2 kilometers. It's definitely one of the shorter circuits on the calendar. So 72 laps, which is quite a lot. Turn one is called Tarzan. It's a hairpin, which is really fun. And in general, the track is pretty twisty and it even has two banked corners that are super steep. And that means high levels of stress and wear on the tires. So keep a lookout for that. 14 turns, 2 DRS zones. And okay, for my hot takes. Oh, this is a hard one coming back from break. Like, you don't know what things are going to be like, but I'm going to say Kimi Antonelli podium. And I don't know if this is hot. I think it's hot because he's not a McLaren driver, but I guess I'll say Max home win. Be nice for Max to win at home. But you know, those two hot takes equate to is only one potential spot for a McLaren on podium, which does feel like a very hot take. So we'll see about that. Probably very wrong, but I'm excited. Race week again means bingo, means different memes, and means hearing from you all on Discord every day, even though you guys have been talking all break on Discord anyway. but I love it. I'm super excited to come back to racing. I'm so excited to be there on the ground. Please message me if there's anything you want to see, different types of content, you have any questions. I'll try to get as many answers as I possibly can and be your eyes and ears on the ground. So use me in that way as much as you want. Thanks, everyone, and à tout de suite.